Chesterton says anything worth doing is worth doing poorly.
And that includes hospitality.
Listen in to find out more.
Welcome to A Word from Our Outpost.
With Joseph and Crystal Gruber.
A podcast for Catholic disciples who are wrestling to be missionary-minded in their normal everyday lives.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Direct, O Lord, our actions by thy holy inspiration, and carry them on by thy gracious assistance, that every word and work of ours may begin in thee, and by thee be happily ended. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. So hospitality
is the topic.
It is the topic. And it's something we think is super important.
And I don't think we've addressed too much yet on the podcast.
Not that I can recall. And we've been trying it and experimenting.
Some might say our whole marriage.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we've been having people over for dinner and breakfast and lunch.
Yeah, yeah, for our whole
coffee
marriage.
And tea.
Actually, now that I think
dessert,
of it, I think when we like
drinks.
Made our very first little mission statement, hospitality was like one of the core value things that we wrote down. Mm-hmm. I think we've held relatively true to that as a reality.
Yeah, I don't think we have any great gift for it.
No. And I think at some point we were even like trying to discern if this was our charism, and we started noticing other people that were like, oh, that person definitely has a charism for hospitality.
And we're like, that's not how we feel when we are hospitable.
No, and it doesn't seem to
before, during, or after.
How things like go. So if it's one of those things we just like keep doing, and we're pretty sure, well, we definitely know there are people that are better at it than us.
That should go without saying, but for those who don't know us, there are many people who are more hospitable than we.
And we know we can get better. And I think we are getting better. But we'd like to continue to learn to get better. However, something else that we've realized is that there are many more people
who possibly
don't even try.
Or don't know to try.
Or don't know to try.
Or tried and it didn't go well, so they stopped trying.
So at some point in time, we'd like to interview somebody that's better at hospitality than us so we can learn some things, maybe even read a book or two. And at some point in time, we'd like to talk about the barriers to opening up one's home for hospitality.
But in the meanwhile, we're just going to offer you what we've got right now, because that's what we've got right now.
It is what we've got right now.
So we'll talk a little bit about the why be hospitable, answers that we've got so far, where hospitality happens primarily, and sort of what we do, and with whom.
So, why do we think about hospitality and try to do it?
I think there are many reasons to be hospitable. In fact, we came up with a number of them and stopped when we realized it was getting to be too many.
We also realized that there are probably good reasons to be hospitable that are better than the ones than we have. But again,
we can't give you what we don't have.
This podcast is about what we do have currently. So reasons we currently are hospitable. One, guys, we're lonely. And we know that other people are lonely.
And broken. And we're broken and we know other people are broken. And we're not supposed to be afraid of that kind of brokenness. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways to show that we're not afraid of it is by letting people in.
Mm-hmm. And it addresses the loneliness of another and the loneliness of ourselves by letting people in.
Almost like we're social animals.
Almost.
And that our needs and the needs of other people in the human race align.
As I like to say, there's mutual reciprocity.
You do like to say
that
redundant phrase. So another reason. So we're lonely, we're broken, other people are lonely and broken. It actually is supposed to be that way and gets better in being shared. But sort of going along with that, we will get stagnant if we don't offer hospitality. Mm-hmm. We will not be pushed or pulled or prodded by really engaging conversation, just by the very presence of other people in our house. It sort of shines a light on life and is a stimulant for growth.
Mm-hmm. And the stagnant piece is interesting because I find that knowing I'm trying to have people over frequently, it keeps me from being stagnant on a lot of levels. For one, it keeps me being thoughtful about how we parent because I don't want people to come over and then not want to come over again because our kids aren't enjoyable to be around. And so it keeps me on my toes of thinking about, okay, if we have an issue with one of our kids, I want to address it more quickly if I know somebody's coming over for dinner tomorrow night.
Same thing goes with our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We could go days or weeks or years with some sort of thorn in our side mutually from each other and not address it if nobody's going to be around. But if somebody's going to be there watching us interact in our home, suddenly we're like, well, we should probably not let this dumb thing remain this dumb thing in between us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And then also just really practically speaking, I'm more inclined to clean up around the house if people are coming over. And with that, I'm not afraid. I do not need to have a perfect house for people to invite people over. And I'm not worried about everything being spick and span. I'm okay with people seeing the messiness of life with little children. However, I do try to do something before they show up. I mean, I at least have to make sure the dining room table is cleared off, or I at least try to make sure the dishwasher is empty so that we can put dirty dishes into it. So finding that balance of it challenges me to shape up my home. I know there are things that Joseph is attentive to where he'll sweep the floor or do something else that he notices. And so it gives us the impetus to make sure that we're on some of those things that we would like to be on anyways. So those reasons for why are a little bit more on, really the selfish side.
No. Yes. Some of them. The first one, there was that mutual reciprocity thing that you like.
Yeah.
It does also give other people a chance to step out into the light of some other people.
Yes.
Into the light of our eyes.
And I think that that's also why I'm okay with my house being not perfect, because I want other people to see other people being not perfect, you know, like going into that brokenness of inviting and saying like, I got my dining room table clean for you, but we didn't vacuum the floor and it's kind of gross.
Usually, we did vacuum the floor.
Usually the floor does get vacuumed if Joseph
that I do.
Has something to do with it. But just that sharing real life with people, I think is, we try to address things that are going on, but we also don't pretend to be somewhere different than we are when we have guests.
And that leads to the final reason to have people over for hospitality's sake, is it is exciting to get to know people.
It really is, especially when they actually let you get to know them.
Mm-hmm. There have been many dinners that we've had over the years with people who did not particularly care if we got to know them. And they were just awkward and oddly silent during long stretches.
Yeah, it's also, it's really telling and interesting to me, you know, whether or not people allow us to get to know them, if they respond to questions we're asking, how they respond, how much of a response they give. But then we've also had some people that ask us no questions and show no interest in getting to know us, which is really interesting.
So we have that as the background, and then in the foreground are all the dinners that we've had where people have reciprocated and people have come to life. And so this is an interesting piece of it, right? Because we get to know someone, and in the act of knowing, hopefully we get to affirm them. We had someone come over who was talking about being a waitress and maybe becoming a realtor perhaps someday in the future. And to affirm, you know, one, that there's a nobility in serving others and caring for them. But then also that the dream that she had to become a realtor, you know, she desired to have people have the same kind of excitement she had when she bought her house, right? Her dream was to help other people reach their dream. Mm. And to be, I don't think she had said it that way before, but I did. And maybe that's why I'm telling the story. But to welcome someone in and to be able to affirm them and to be a cheerleader for them, to be a source of encouragement, to say, here in our home, we desire to encourage all that is good.
Yeah. And that's really fun to see in those dinners that we've had that are really engaging, where I feel like we're really getting to know these people and they're really getting to know us, this, how that, you know, sometimes it comes out in dreams, sometimes in encouraging other people's dreams, like this one, dreams as in the hopes for the future.
She's laughing because I tell her what I dream about at night from time to time.
Often that's breakfast conversation.
And she doesn't encourage that.
Should I? Oh, but another time is coming to mind where you had met somebody and invited them over, and then I ended up connecting with them on shared interests. And that was kind of a fun one where, you know, I got to, like, I went in blind and then was able to connect about skiing or other fun things that we like to do.
I have no idea who you're talking about, but I'm so glad it happened. Because that's the exciting thing, right? You're inviting someone new and you don't know exactly what they're... Well, let's backtrack a little bit. We've been talking about hospitality as if it's all only extended to those who are new to us. And clearly that's not the fullness of being hospitable. That'd be like, I'm going to have you over for dinner once. This is your one shot. And that's not what we're implying. But we have been in several new places throughout the course of our marriage. So it has required a lot of restarts.
Well, and I think that that also brings up an interesting point of another reason of why we do it is we do it to get to know people that we maybe have met or have had over before, to get to know them better and to invite them more into our lives. Just thinking about some of the couples we've been getting to know since our last move and that we've had over many times, and how that's been really fun to just delve deeper into ideas and dreams and people's lives and stories and sharing a lot over the course of several meals, which has been really neat as well. So that's why we do it. Like we said, we could probably go on this one, but maybe we'll move on for a bit to where.
This one's going to be kind of obvious. For the most part, we practice hospitality in our home. An argument could easily be made that we practice hospitality after Mass at the Knights of Columbus breakfast, that we practice hospitality when we go to another person's home for a meal and we receive hospitality. But that's not what we're talking about this podcast. This podcast we're talking about in the home, our home.
So the most important place we think in our home for hospitality is our dining room. I mean, being able to break bread, share a meal, share a glass of wine, have conversation with people around the dining room table where everybody can look everybody in the eyes, where people are seeing how we interact with our kids.
We get to see how they interact with their kids. Not that we're judging. We're not. But we get to see it. Mm-hmm. And they get to see us. Mm-hmm. Like we're both, you know, put out there on display to one another.
Yeah. And so being in that dining room setting, just, it's also just really telling and sharing, even when no words are spoken, I think, of getting to know people.
Apparently there are some cultures where talking during the eating is considered rude, not just when the mouth is full of food, but throughout the entire course of the meal, and they reserve conversation for after. And I have found that post-dinner conversation is oftentimes better than dinner conversation. However, dinner conversation can lay good groundwork. Mm-hmm. And this is maybe skipping categories for this one. With the dining room, I sometimes like to think about where people ought to sit in order to best facilitate conversation. I've done this in restaurants. I've done this at meetings. I've done this just thinking who should be across from whom. Who should be next to whom? Who should I sit as far from one another as possible? I remember reading these like Victorian novels where they're talking about dinner parties, where the host and the hostess have elaborately planned where everybody's going to sit and have planned out topics of conversation and have organized it such that everybody can complement one another and play off of one another very easily. And that idea has always attracted me about the dining room as a place where, like you said, everyone can sit and see each other, but there's so much meaning behind, am I sitting across from you, or am I sitting down the table from you, or where are we in relation to one another? And does that facilitate several conversations, or are we trying for one conversation? I love thinking about this.
Yeah, and I think we've tried different things, and sometimes it goes well, and sometimes it doesn't go well, and sometimes we don't try anything, and it goes awesome, and sometimes we don't try anything, and we think, well, that would have been better if we would have
thought it through a little bit.
But it's always learning, something that we're thinking about in regards to the dining room. And I think, like you said, there's a kind of conversation that happens over the actual meal. And again, this is something I'd love to learn more about from
experts. Who are not us.
But that hopefully at some point in time, if we have the time and the space, we like to be able to move to the living room after dinner, which we do find can facilitate another level of conversation, which is really enjoyable.
Do you remember one of our more recent dinners where we lingered at the dinner table and we forgot to move to the living room?
Yes.
I really think we should have moved to the living room.
Yeah. I think you're probably right.
We've set up the living room such that, again, people can all see each other. I host a couple of different groups of men studying the Bible, and so I can comfortably fit, what, like 10, 12 guys in the living room where everyone can essentially see each other.
Yeah.
But it's also easy enough for it to be a more intimate kind of gathering.
Yes.
And this can be a place for dessert. It can be a place for a drink, some post-dinner snacking, cheese and crackers, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
And we have also sort of, in some circumstances, just skipped the dining room altogether and just, you know, maybe it's an after-dinner get-together and we have cheese and crackers and wine or something like that, and we just be in the living room. We even had one night a couple times where we were hosting a small group of people that had been together at a conference, and we were doing a post-conference gathering, and we just wanted to open our homes and have an opportunity for hospitality, but also an opportunity to unpack and have conversations. And we just were in our living room, and we set up tables with cheese and crackers and desserts and wines and got to sit and be together. And that was a really delightful way to still share food and drink, but to be more comfortable and more casual.
Yeah. The living room also is a place for all sorts of really incredible community building kinds of activities.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where games can be played. This is where songs can be sung, music can be played, stories can be told. A few times we've had people over for dramatic readings of plays, and some people are confused by that. I don't mean acting out the play. I mean sitting around with the script of the play in front of us, and everybody has a different character that they read the part of.
It's quite fun. I was a real skeptic at first, but I thoroughly enjoy doing it. It's led to lots of laughter. A couple other notes about the living room. To facilitate good hospitality in a living room, this is just what we are doing. We do not have a television in our living room, and I think that helps facilitate. And we do try to have a piano, and we used to have a fireplace, which I miss tremendously. So now I have some candles. I call it good enough.
On special occasions, she lights the candles.
Or when I think of it, I would probably light them more often if I thought of it. But to have, and I mean, neither of us really play the piano, but our piano gets played from time to time by people that do, and it's always so wonderful when it does. And maybe someday one of us will play. But just having musical instruments around and not having a screen to be distracted by, I think, are things that have helped us facilitate good conversation, have given a reason to pull out a game or to play a musical instrument or to do a dramatic reading that might otherwise have been overlooked. So that's, and then the other where, the kitchen. So the kitchen is a bit more vulnerable, at least for me.
For some people.
Because the kitchen is where the mess is after dinner. And I found that there are some people that just dive right in and they just start cleaning my kitchen before I even knew what happened. In which case I have this internal temptation to make them stop, but I don't. I let them do it because I'm always grateful that it is getting done if I'm really being real with myself. And usually the people that do that actually like doing that, or at least, yeah, I think that that's a way they like to serve. And so I try not to feel bad and I try to receive that as a gift. There's also people that will ask, do you want help in the kitchen? And this is one where I think depending on how things are going, I may say yes or no. I may say, oh no, don't worry about it, and just really try to enjoy their company more. And then other times, especially if it's somebody that comes over more frequently and asks, I'll say yes. Can we do this together maybe? I think that's my favorite, is when somebody asks and we can do it together.
Yeah, the idea of sharing in a work, because there's a good in sharing leisure. There's also a good in sharing work. They're different, but they are good. Mm-hmm. It is good to be shoulder to shoulder with someone. Mm-hmm. And I think we forget, too, that if they came over for dinner, they know that the dinner caused a bit of a mess. They helped create it. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes we forget that our guests know how food works.
Yeah.
That it was made in a kitchen, that dishes are cleaned in a kitchen.
And there are sometimes with some guests, depending on what I learned about them or what I know about them already, where I might say like, nope, I am going to take care of this for you because I want to serve you in this way on this day.
Or you don't know how to clean dishes. And we had to go back and clean all of the dishes after you left. And you also put things away in the wrong places. And
these are reasons why doing it together is really helpful.
Yeah.
But yeah, that may be part of the reality. I can't think of any time in particular that, I mean, putting things in the wrong places always happens.
That always happens.
And then also as an opportunity to invite. And I think this is one where, especially with people that we've had over multiple times that maybe are less sure of what to do once the kitchen stuff starts to happen, learning, I'm starting to learn to say, hey, would you help do this, and give somebody a certain task if they're not asking and I do want some help for some reason. I think recently we had somebody, I said, you know, and I asked them to clear the dinner plates, and then I got the dessert plates out so that we were ready, and that just made things move more quickly, and that was good. So not being afraid to ask somebody for a little bit of help is also a vulnerable thing that invites somebody into my kitchen.
And it takes a little bit more forethought, too, to think,
yes,
this is a discrete task I can assign to someone versus this is a multi-step task where they would need more information than I can readily provide.
Yeah, and also an awareness of the person. You know, I think when I do something like that, a lot of times I think of it because somebody just like looks uncomfortable and looks like they want to help, but they're not sure if they should or how to go about doing so. And the times where I have asked, I see this like look of relief of like, maybe they weren't actually participating in that conversation at the moment or something, but there's sort of this being awareness of having an awareness for the person that looks like they want to help, but they don't know, you know, if it would be insulting or how to go about it or what would be helpful. And they're usually relieved to be asked to do a discreet thing.
Oh, you were thinking discreet as in secretive, or I was thinking
No.
Oh, you were
as
thinking
discreet as in one small task particular.
Oh, but there was a bit of a hidden pun in there.
Maybe true.
But also going along with this, this is an opportunity to break up conversations into smaller chunks of people. And to be selective, to say, you know, these people are talking with the host or with the hostess. Maybe the other people would go and do some work and they'll start a different conversation. It requires a bit of an attentiveness to what's going on in the room.
Yeah, and this is one that I think is really interesting. Also in terms of hospitality at other people's homes, something that's coming to mind is we had hosted a bunch of the men who study the Bible with you, and they brought their wives for a meal, and a couple of the wives noticed that you and I were engaged in conversations with people and noticed the time that your Bible study was going to be starting soon, and they just like made magic happen in the kitchen, and I didn't even realize it until it was almost done. And they had this awareness of we were doing something as hosts that was appropriate for us to be doing, but they weren't engaged in that and they wanted to serve us. And that was really cool to see. And they still were doing their own thing and having their own conversation and happy as clams to be continuing that with busy hands. And so that was just a neat time where I feel like I've seen somebody else being hospitable to me in my own home.
Yeah, I mean, for someone who already has that kind of virtuous desire to serve others, having them come over is a really wonderful thing. For someone who doesn't have that as well developed, to have them over and to invite them to grow mm-hmm. alongside us is an incredible opportunity as well.
Yeah.
Because we're showing them a little bit more of what it is to be human, to go from start of dinner to finish, and the finish is actually helping us to finish with the remains of it.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes that happens in between the dining room and the kitchen, and sometimes that's after living room, excuse me. So sometimes the kitchen can come in between the dining room and living room, other times at the end of the evening.
And sometimes there's just a big mess at the end of the night, and I stay up late and work on it, and I don't usually mind because I listen to other people's podcasts.
Yep.
So what we do for extending hospitality, this is pretty straightforward. We're listing it because, well, in the hopes that, one, it could be helpful for those who want to try, and two, for those who have additional steps to let us know, hey, you should probably think about this or that.
Well, and I also think with this one, when we are feeling stagnant about life in general, I think we often realize we haven't been being hospitable. And we need to revisit, okay, what are the next steps? It's simple, it's practical, it's obvious, but it's also really helpful for me to remember when I'm feeling kind of meh and I'm thinking we need to get back into having people in our home. So like practically speaking, we'll look at our schedule for the next week or two and see when we can have people over. Is there a night where I've got time to prep a meal where we don't have something going on in the evening that one of us has to run off to, where our kids don't have something going on? When do we have a night available?
Or can we make it a night available?
Yes.
And change something in our schedule for that to happen?
Yeah. And I think that is a really important point, because I think if we look at our schedule 1, 2, 3 weeks out and see we do not have a night in the next 2 or 3 weeks that we can invite somebody over for a meal, for us, that means something's wrong. That means something needs to go. Something needs to be changed.
I don't think it's ever happened.
No.
But we might look out a week, maybe 2 weeks out, and say it'd be hard to have a family over for dinner.
Mm-hmm. And this one's been challenging because for some families, that's not how they operate. And so I found with some families, I need to book 4 to 6 weeks out. And so having an awareness of that.
There's the one family I would try to invite like the day before, and they would say, thanks for the invite, the day after.
Yeah.
And realizing they don't work by the seat of their pants as much as we do when it comes to scheduling some of these get-togethers.
And so then we'd try to schedule more in advance.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's something too, we learn about different people. We could talk about that a little bit more with whom, but we just keep trying and figuring out who needs the further out invitation and who can be more last minute. And then Joseph and I will talk and maybe sometimes pray. Probably we should do that part more about, when we can have somebody who we want to have.
So we'll talk about the with whom in a moment, but to know that we do talk and pray about it before we make an invitation to the people.
And then we make an invitation, whether that be via text message or phone call or email, depending on the person and how they might respond, maybe all three.
Depending on how much I hate calling people.
Or also, one of our like most dear friends that we're going to get to see soon after recording this podcast, they became our friends because one Sunday morning we said, we're going to invite somebody over for dinner on Monday after Mass today.
And we had a family in mind.
And we didn't get to invite them.
They were gone by the time we got to the back of the church.
And so we got to chatting with this other family. And so everybody else left in the midst of chatting with this family. And so we invited them over for dinner on Monday night. And they were able to come. And they became very good friends after that. And so that was interesting, where we were going to invite somebody. We didn't know who. But the important thing was we decided we were going to make an invitation. We decided when the invitation was for. And then we made an invitation. And then another, like, what we do, practically speaking, I just try to plan bigger meals and have extra food. And if we have people over, great. And if not, then leftovers for lunch the next day, which I probably still have room for growth in.
She's been growing in this so much over the course of our marriage. She used to feed me something close to a starvation diet. And now she feeds me overabundantly. But yeah, to think through the grocery list, you know, this week we have to change the list. We should beef this one up, or we should maybe get something special.
But then with that, I'm also not afraid to ask people to bring things or let people know what they can bring when they ask. Most people ask what they can bring. And I found when I ask what I can bring to somebody else's place, a lot of the times people won't ask me to bring something, ask us to bring something. I say yes when people ask what they can bring. And I one time asked a family to bring rice. I was like, I'm making meat and vegetables. Will you bring rice to go with it? And she like showed up with a pot of rice, and I don't know. It felt a little bit weird, but
I don't know why. Why would that feel weird?
I don't know, but I'm glad I did it. I don't regret it. I think it worked out well.
There's nothing to regret.
No. But I think that experience of asking other families, what can I bring? And them saying again and again and again, oh, just yourselves. Oh, just yourselves. And when other people ask me, what can I bring? I'm like, bring a pot of rice. Like I will ask people salad, dessert, drinks. Those are all easy things. Flowers are, if somebody tells me not to bring anything, I usually bring flowers as well. We stole that idea from somebody else.
Yeah. This is also a reason why we love potlucks.
Yes.
When we had, it was something like six couples over. Mm-hmm. Of the men who were studying the Bible with me. It was a potluck. We provided a main dish, and everybody else provided a side dish. But what the wonderful thing about a potluck is people bring their favorite side dish, the one that they know how to make well and that they enjoy the most. Mm-hmm. And so you have an array of
Favorites. And we are all about the luck in potluck. I am not first half of the alphabet bring salad and sides and second half of the alphabet bring desserts. No, no, no. If we have meat and a whole bunch of dessert and wine and that's it, I'm okay with that. If we have a whole bunch of salads, I'm okay with that. I like the luck because I think that's a good point, because it's fun to see what people like to bring.
And it takes the pressure off of hosting a little bit to know. Actually, they're in a certain sense cooperating in the hosting when it's a potluck, when they can bring a dish. And there's something comforting in that, knowing, they're in this too. Yeah. That mutual reciprocity thing that you love.
Yes.
They're in it.
Yeah. I've also had the experience of somebody saying, I'd like to bring X. I think it was a fruit salad. Are you guys okay with walnuts? And I liked that, that this person was saying, I'm going to bring something. This is what I have available to offer.
Or what I can whip up easily, or
yeah,
and what I know the kids would enjoy eating.
Yeah, and I really appreciated that.
I think that, that's a good one when kids are coming.
Yeah.
Because usually the parents know what the kids will eat better than we will.
That is true. Oh, and that's another thing, too, is that what I try to do is ask if people have dietary restrictions or preferences.
When we invite.
Yeah, because I think that that's a good thing to know.
And then the last thing that we do is we clean up at least as much table space as needed, and maybe more. Because there is this kind of rule, at least in most places I've lived, that if there's a flat surface in a house, it becomes a table, and that table becomes filled with things. You know, I sit down, oh, I have this box, oh, I have this piece of paper, oh, I have this random odd or end, or just surfaces become covered. In our house, oftentimes with books, but they do get covered. I'm just looking around at the different tables in sight, and yep, books.
I've been trying to work on this one, but still a progress is being made. But
my point is, we've had people over where I literally just pushed everything on the dining room table to the end of the table. Fortunately, we have a table that has two leaves, so it can seat 10 or a little bit more. So I can push everything to the end.
We all sat at the other end. Six people at the one end of the table, you know, and the other end has all junk on it. We've done that a lot, actually.
I tend to block that part out.
Yeah, but I'd rather do, again, anything worth doing is worth doing quarterly. I'd rather do that. We've got room to eat. Gets the job done. So clearing off enough space where people can eat comfortably, hopefully before they showed up.
Hopefully. So that's what we do.
So lastly, with whom do we do these things, my dear Joseph?
So in my negativity, I tend to think of who we shouldn't do this with. But that's not the question you asked. No. So let's dive into the question that you asked.
So a group that we would like
to get to know better
and have tried and have had the most rejection from, but have had some success, is our actual neighbors. So that's been fun to get to know our actual physical neighbors a little bit better by having them over. That usually takes a lot of tries to pull off, but it can be done. Random families at Mass. This is one of my favorites, because usually the random families that we've had over for meals after Mass once become people that we end up having more meals with, and I thoroughly enjoy them. Friends.
Yeah, lest you think that we don't have friends. Sometimes it feels that way, but we do. We do have friends.
And so we have them over for dinner. And
there are friends even that we would love to have over that haven't come over for dinner yet.
It's true. We also like having family for dinner. We don't get to do that as much living further away from family, but we like doing that for sure.
Coworkers. Mm-hmm. That's a good one. Mm-hmm. That's a way to invite them into another aspect of our lives. And that's something we could probably talk about with people who are more expert at this. But I enjoy having people who speak the same language that I do over for dinner, that they might meet you. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And that's also an interesting one, in seeing each other come more to life about our work with another person that like you said, shares that language. And then my favorite is people we want to be friends with. I like to call them friend crushes. I love these people where I'm like, I really want to be their friend. How do I get to be their friend?
Are they free?
And then I'll invite them over for a meal and see if we can be friends. And then if we can be friends, usually those are repeat people that I have over, and then they become friends, and then they're in that category.
Yeah. So those are the with whom. A lot more could be said about everything that we brought up tonight, but the main point that we wanted to put out there is we're not actually all that good at being hospitable. I forget to offer people water when they come in. I forget to let them know if this is a shoes on or shoes off kind of house, mainly because it's both. It's hard to be definite on it. We mess up often, but we also know that it's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And that I think this is a topic that we will return to a number of times, but to have an episode to refer back to where we can say, refer back to episode number 40-something to hear about some of the why or the what or the with whom or where for a little bit more background.
Yeah, for our starting point as well.
And this is, it also goes hand in hand with the people who talk about the Benedict option. Obviously, for those who are familiar with the Benedictine order, one of their hallmark virtues is hospitality. And that's one of the things that he's emphasizing. Rod Dreher, the author of the Benedict option, is emphasizing in his book the importance of hospitality in recreating, redeeming, propagating culture.
Mm-hmm.
And to know, like, this is where culture happens in the home. That's where culture happens. It's the stuff of life. It's the stuff of here's my hierarchy of importances, and I'm inviting them to share in these things.
Mm-hmm. So with that said, if you're really good at hospitality and you feel like you do it really well, and that you talk about it very well, let us know, because we'd like to do more interviews in the next year. And if there's somebody out there that we could interview about doing hospitality better, that would be really fun.
If you know someone who's very well-spoken and very hospitable, and tell them, Joseph and Crystal Gruber need your help.
We'd like that, too.
We'd be obliged.
And then we'd also be really interested in hearing from you, dear listener, what your barriers to hospitality are. If you don't invite people into your home, or you don't feel free to do it as frequently as you think you should or you would like to, why? What gets in the way? Because I think that's another thing we'd like to address, is how to overcome the barriers to hospitality and the reasons why we don't do it.
We started brainstorming a bunch of reasons, but then we thought we'd rather start with the positive than the negative. Right? There's a good to inviting people into our lives. There's a good in sharing time and space and activity with people. There's a good in being eyeball to eyeball with people who are human and not screens. Mm-hmm. There's a good to conversation that sometimes can get a little bit dicey, that can sometimes be a little bit hard to navigate. We don't get stronger unless we're met with a little bit of opposition from time to time.
Yeah.
So there are so many goods to hospitality. We also know that there's a lot of difficulty associated with it. If you want to contact us at ouroutpost@gmail.com, if you wanted to let us know some of your common hang-ups or obstacles to being hospitable in the way that you would most desire, or you can leave a comment on our Facebook page. You can also just reach out to us if you happen to know us through other means of communication. And at this point, we can say, oh, go ahead.
And if you just like this podcast and you want to do the subscribe thing or the like thing or the star thing or the comment thing,
the review thing,
that's all apparently helpful, and we'd appreciate the helpfulness.
Thank you.
And with that said, in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit, teach us to pray. Help inspire our hearts to be more hospitable and to do the will of the Father, to be attentive to who he's asking us to open our homes to. And we pray for the courage to do so for ourselves and for our listeners. We ask all this in the holy name of Jesus. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
So take my hand, let's be on our way. And now finally, I can say that I love you. Yes, I love you.
From our outpost to yours. Thanks for listening. And a special thanks to John Mark Skoch.
That's SKOCH.
For the music.
Check him out on Spotify.